And Alex Steedman joins me now. We're going to take a look back at racing from the weekend. How are you, Alex?
I'm doing good, Cozzy. What about you?
Fantastic. We've got to just say, first up, Joe Pride, you are a legend, bringing old Destiny's Kiss out there on Saturday. And another few years' time, he'll be able to drive himself to the races, Destiny. He'll be able to pull in at the bottle shop on the way home. He'll be right. What a great training effort.
Joe Pride's incredible. The horse Destiny's Kiss is incredible. He's now won the Winter Cup twice after claiming his first Winter Cup in 2013. And not only has he won as a 10-year-old, but he's run a high rating for a Winter Cup. And he's also carried the highest weight to victory in the race through its past 20 years. Also worth noting that this is the first time since 2012 that the Winter Cup has attracted a double-figure field. For a while now, they've barely been able to pay dividends a third, sometimes not even that. A lot of these horses in the finish are having just their first or second Australian prep. So overall, it's probably one of the more interesting Winter Cups that we'll see. And, the old boy Destiny's Kiss has got the job done.
It was just a terrific win up halfway up the straight. I was cheering like, come on, mate, get home. And I looked and thought, is he going to do it or not? And then, hey, what a great old horse.
It was one of those races where even if you weren't on Destiny's Kiss, you sort of put the ticket to one side and, just cheer him home for the sake of racing. And realistically, outside of Destiny's Kiss, the horses who finished behind him, they look set to get their chance to win throughout the next sort of 6 to 8 weeks. Mm. Yogi, he was unlucky in second. Highbridge was solid out wide in fourth, as was Saunter Boy in fifth. They'll all be headed to the Stayers Cup, you'd think. And with the lightweight, I'd probably be siding with the likes of Highbridge and probably Saunter Boy. Probably one of the more interesting Winter Cups that we'll come across, Cozzy.
Exactly. Hey, the Samantha Clinton show just rolls on. Sammy, she's on fire, isn't she, since she's come back and got the money on Nikki's Gold.
Yeah, Nikki's Gold has an excellent second-up record. 4 wins from 6 second-up outings. She's run up to her previous best on Saturday, and she's now won over $300,000. And realistically, she hasn't really gone beyond the high benchmark 70, low benchmark 80 level. Gary Portelli's just placed her well. These off-season fillies and mares races generally aren't the form lines you want to hone in on. That said, I did like how Zavance was working to the line. She's improved with each run this prep. She could be at her peak next start and could be ready to go if the Snowdens can keep her against her own sex. I thought Waking Moment was another runner of interest too. She ran sixth, beaten less than a length in her stable debut for Chris Waller. There's an 1,800-metre fillies and mares race for her at Rose Hill in 2 weeks, and I really want to see her there second up, Cozzy.
Now, Alberman, been a very honest horse through the years for Gerald Ryan and the camp, and they got the money in the last?
Yeah, got a dream run midfield on the fence behind a hot tempo. Got the splits through the tiring on paces and was strong through the line. Recorded his first win as a 4-year-old, produced a time form rating of 105. The favourite, Sylvia's mother, held up at the top of the straight. She was good late. Market expectations aside, it was a strong run by her first up against the older horses. Tango Rain, he was brave in third. He'd been struggling for form, so that was certainly a bounce-back effort on Saturday, really tough on pace display. And watch the replay again for Druckenfels in sixth. That was a massive effort from a horse who was dead last on straightening, beaten less than a length behind a wall of horses, Sean.
Now, if they look packing it, they're only about 45 seconds off a start here. I'll come back in just a moment. Alex, Bundaberg, Totes there. The winner had Rum and Rubies, 280-130, 1 Nimble and a Nook, 140, and 5 Angry Angus, 470. Now, the lady up at Pakenham for the first here, and only a small field of 6 Texan Lass out. Favourite 5, Jinder, 140 on fixed, 145.
At Hat and Hammer set. Here's Cape Kane. G'day, Michael. Great to be with you again. And they're just about set, my friend, for the running of the first race on the card. Jinder, the favourite. Oh, I don't know if I could take $1.50, but it probably just about wins. The cook looks the main danger. Now, the last few moving up. We're waiting for Emma Kabil to get set. Cape Kane, who's had support, has been from Sky, joins us. Welcome along to our Sky audience. Cape Kane at $41 chance, was 51 into 31 there at one stage. Now, Emma Kabil being led forward, the stablemate, a $17 hope. Favourite's $1.45. On the tote, it's $1.50. So here we go. Good luck to those punters taking the shorts. They're off. Jinder began speedily wide out. Look West and the Cook one from the fence away well. Hard Hat and Hammer's going to go through and make a line of four in the early stages. A length and a half away at the tail of the field is Cape Kane. And Emma Kabil going back last and just wanting to wave a race a little bit. Jinder caught a fraction deep in the turn out of the straight, gliding across down towards the plastic to go to the front now from Look West on the fence and the Cook the centre. Hard Hat and Hammer still out a little bit wide on the track from Cape Kane. And America Beale is the trailer as they go up the side of the track. Jinder leads the way from Look West by about a neck. Hasn't crossed down to the fence yet. Hard Hat and Hammer three quarters of a length away running third. The Cook now eases out of that battle, goes back to be fourth. They were followed by Cape Kane and America Beale at the tail of the field as they swing to the back. So Jake Noonan has charge now on the mare. It's Jinder the hot pot in front by a length and a bit on Hard Hat and Hammer. A neck away on the fence. Look West, the former NZ, a length and a half to the Cook. On the fence, Cape Kane, and Emma Kabil is two lengths away last. Halfway from home at the 1,200 metres, Mark Jinder made play. Rolling along to suit itself at the moment from Look West and Hard Hat and Hammer the Outer. They're locked in battle, second and third, a length and a half away to the Cook. On the fence is Cape Kane, and Emma Kabil has almost caught the field up, a length and a half away last. So can Jinder do it all the way? Coming off the back now, heading past the 900 metres mark down to the 8, leading by a length and a half on Look West and Hard Hat and Hammer. Two lengths away, the Cook yet to be clicked up. Back on the fence, Cape Kane. America Beale again losing a bit of contact is 2.25 lengths away last. Jinder comes up towards the bend. They've got 600 metres left to run. Nursed along from Hard Hat and Hammer under pressure. Back on the fence, Look West. Then came the Cook pulling out, trying to run on. A length away, Cape Kane and America Beale last of all. It's Jinder's race to lose on the corner. At the 400 upon straightening up, it's two lengths, three lengths in front now from Hard Hat and Hammer. The Cook on the outside battling away. Nothing else really making ground, headed by Cape Kane, but it's all Jinder. And it's about four lengths in front down by the 200 from Hard Hat and Hammer. If you've taken the short odds about this, there is not a worry in the world. Jinder is absolutely destroying her rivals, and she's going to go home at start number 12 and win it in a breeze. Second's very tight. The Cook's got to dive in at Hard Hat and Hammer, and I'm not sure. Behind those, Emma Kabil, then Cape Kane and Look West at the tail of the field.
Now, it looks like it'll be 5, 7 and 1. We'll confirm those. 5, Jinder, 140, 104. The 7, the Cook is 170. 1, Hard Hat and Hammer, 430. But they'll only pay 1-2. Cabba Jack, very consistent horse and a good win on the last there on Saturday, Alex.
There's always been a massive rap on this bloke and really justifying that boom on him this prep. He's improved with each run. He ran a career-best figure on Saturday, taking on the older horses. You get the feel they'll let him work through the grades this winter and pick up some Bob's bonuses and then perhaps aim up at a Magic Millions race over the summer. Realistically, not much to talk about from the race outside of him. He was a potential stakes-level horse taking on your standard off-season type, so I think they'll be glad to see the back of him for the remainder of June, July, because he'll sort of have a benchmark up in those mid-80s now. And yeah, the likes of Nicochet, Destiny's Own, Metamorphic, they can all move out of his shadow.
Now, say your win was a good effort, and good, he ran on well, didn't he?
Yeah, he's put two wins together now, and he's run figures in both those wins that suggest that he's up to listed, even Group 3 middle distance racing. He ran overall time well inside standard, which was the only example of that happening at Rose Hill on Saturday. There's a 2,000-metre open handicap at Rose Hill in 2 weeks. He'll take a ton of beating in that. And then there's another 2,000-metre open handicap at Randwick 2 weeks after that. So the calendar really works to his favour over the next month. He's a Bob's Extra horse too, so he's really cashing in for connections this prep. Mr. Belvedere in fourth, he's making all the right noises in his first campaign in Australia. He can follow Sir You Win to those same 2,000-metre open handicaps, and he carried
one sec there, Alex, set Bundaberg.
Racing now. Easy Alloway, well, so too Highway Gemin pushing through. Minor details in the early part up to fourth, then Spring Deb. They're followed further back to our Cam LeBoy. Next in the field then came Ruby Hayes. Richmer Attack and Spin Set out towards last. And the two favourites race away off the back. Easy Al just getting the upper hand now, though. It's two lengths in front of Highway Gem. Further back then to Minor Details. Then came our Cam LeBoy. Around the bend, Easy Al in control and is going away, Easy Al. Too good, won it by 6 lengths to Highway Gem. Minor Details third. Photo for fourth, we had the Richmond Attack up there with also our Campbell boy. And charging on from the back was Ruby Hayes. Next over the line spin set. And a Spring Deb, just about the last one in.
Two dividends in a moment there. River Bird, nice to see Jenny Duggan get a winner in town. One of the two mums, her and Sammy Clinton, to win on the day.
Yeah, it was. Jenny, back rowing winner in town on a Saturday. It's been about 5 years, I think, since she had her last one. And Jenny and River Bird, they fought off a couple of really nice three-year-olds to get it done too. 94 is the time form rating we've landed on, and that's a figure still shy of her best. This girl, she plays behind Fiesta in the Widden Stakes as a two-year-old, so the ability is certainly there. And I think this race as a whole has the potential to be a decent form race moving forward. The first three across the line, they'll all be chasing Bob's Cash in weak races over the next month or so. All of them have good upside about them and relatively low benchmarks around the 70 mark, which certainly allows them the opportunity to work through their grades this winter.
Well, we congratulated Joe Pride earlier with Destiny's Kiss. Passage of Time, three of its last four. Got the money again.
look, another winner early in the card, along with Enforcement, who is just enjoying some career-best form after being gelded. This win, this was clinical. He led and kept rolling in the straight. And he ran figures to suggest that he can perform at stakes level again. He was stakes placed in 2017 as a three-year-old. He should go to the Civic Stakes at Rose Hill in a fortnight at listed level. He'll get some weight relief there compared to the 60 kilos he carried on Saturday. Asterius, he was good in second. He needs further, though, and with the benchmark in the mid-80s, he's a shade awkward to place at this time of year. Fragonard in third kind of fits the same criteria. So I'm somewhat curious to see what connections do with the two place getters, both early in their preps. Just, I don't know where they go to find the right race, Sean.
The Highway, Norm Gardner, Upper House has tested his patience a little bit, been a few gear changes on and off, earmuffs and Hanoverian nosebands and so forth. And Deanne Pena, who is a brilliant artist, rode Upper House a treat.
Hey, Upper House, he's been in excellent form at country level so far this prep. Brought it to Highway Handicap level, produced a time form rating of 78, and it was a good win under the circumstances. It was a set weights race, so he only had a benchmark of 55, I think, so he was meeting better credentialed horses with benchmarks in the 70s badly at the weights compared to, say, if it was a regular handicap event. Zadoro, he was luckless in second, probably should have won if he got a bit more clear room in the straight. And Pat Snipper in fifth, he was also pretty solid to the line.
And Enforcement of the first, Tommy Berry, followed the old adage of go to the front and improve your position.
Exactly. You got the first look at the track. Produced a nice kick at the 250. We awarded the winner time form rating of 100. He beat a group place filly in Rotator, which certainly pushes his claims to that rating. The stable, they're looking at a race like the Rosebud for him. They're not getting too carried away at this point, which is probably fair enough. Rotator in second, she's still doing a bit wrong. Intrepidacious looks to have found her level as well. She was good resuming with a third after she struggled in stakes races through the early autumn. But overall, the penny certainly looks to have dropped for the winner, and there's plenty to like with him.
All right, now I'll come back in just a sec, loading man number two quickly.
Awesome quality all the way in from 380 to 220. And we're ready to run in the sixth set. Racing. Awesome quality is midfield away here. Slow to go was Big Time Marley. Up front, Little Scamp finds the lead. Billy's Churn goes forward, and also rushing up there too was Five Eyes. Followed through then by Idle Duke behind them. Big Time Thor out wide. Awesome quality hooked to the outside but got awkward. Well back there, Big Time Molly. Big Time Marley trying to make ground through. Little Scamp's in front of Billy's Churn and he can't reach her. Little Scamp beats Billy's Churn and Awesome Quality dashes to third. Next to go by was Five Eyes, followed through by Idle Duke, Big Time Marley, Big Time Molly and Big Time Thor, who was bashed across the top.
Tate dividends shortly. Tates are there at Packet and winner five, Jinder, 140-104. One Hard Hat and Hammer, 430. Seven The Cook, no third. 4-3 Amicabile, Cronulla, 380. Exacta, 730. Trifecta, 1350 and the four, $39.10. Now, Alex, from the weekend, what do you think we should follow? And if you say Destiny Kiss, I think he's just coming right. You can't do that, all right? We know he's come right.
get into the futures market for the 2020 Windsor Cup, see if we can get a prize for Destiny. He'll still be going around. But I think the blanket rule for the next month is to hone in on the progressive three-year-olds chasing Bob's cash. They get 58 grand for the win, plus a 38 grand Bob's bonus, so almost 100 grand for beating up on some pretty weak off-season fields. So it's a great time of year for them to be racing. Individually, Waking Moment, I think she's an interesting runner that may not have made everyone's black book. So keep an eye out for her second up in the coming week, Sean.
All right, good on you, Alex. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Cozzy.
Alex Steeman there from Racing and Sports. It's